Welcome to Jim's BBQ. Can I take your order?
He looks like a beaver trying to give someone a blowjob.
Would it fit your clothing style?
No.
Okay, so no.
You guys suck those fucking Mexican dicks.
It would have brought sexy back.
Yeah.
Just like JT.
That's what we've been talking about!
What?
I met Chris Hansen once.
I hate fucking people.
Do you have a job?
Hey, Jim?
Yes?
Can you say wall again?
Wall?
Big penis coming out of nowhere.
Hi, welcome to episode 71 of Jim's BBQ Podcast. I'm Mike.
Jim.
And I'm Dylan.
And that's how we start an episode of this podcast.
Yeah, not like that fucking horse shit that we pulled before.
Yeah, with Ming over the weekend. But we'll
with
get
Ming.
What? Wait, with and Paul.
And Paul.
Wait, speaking of Paul, we have a special guest with
Is
us
it
this
Paul?
Evening.
Yeah, don't. It's all right. Don't bury the lead or anything.
We'll get back to Ming. Don't you worry. But you have to stay tuned for episode 72 to hear all about our adventures with Ming. But we have our favorite Canadian correspondent, Mr. Paul Saunders, on with us tonight. And he's angry with us, I think.
Furious, I believe.
I
furious.
I'm Saint angry
wow.
at you.
That's good.
Oh.
He is.
Sorry, I'm madly in anger with you.
Yeah. Paul's been on enough. He should have some kind of his own intro, so we need to come up with something for next time.
Yeah, use the one from the boat.
What was the one?
What was the one from the boat?
Mike was on Facebook Live, and he goes, "Hey, here's our Canadian correspondent." And I said, "Hola, mi amigos."
Ah, there you go.
You should.
But I've never
should,
heard.
You should sing the national anthem, but in Spanish.
Ooh.
It's yours or ours?
Yours, like your, like the Canadian yeah. one.
I know it in French.
Canadian one.
I'm still not thinking it.
I don't think I've ever seen Paul so angry about something. Till today.
Well, I'm.
Well, we'll elaborate on that.
We'll
everybody
dive.
Listened to us and we finished up our discussion on Metallica and ready to move on. So.
Wait, what?
Oh, we're going to continue that?
Yeah. This is part two. This is part two of
Bull Riot. He just doesn't want to do it. It's like getting a root canal. You don't want to do it.
Jim, sometimes you just have to peel the
Band-Aid
off. I think
when you listen back to this one, you'll hear my excitement through the first, through most of the first part of this episode. And then, like, as we get into... everything after the Black Album, my interest kind of just starts to fade.
I think listening back to episode 70, it was actually quite an enjoyable listen as I was editing it. I can't wait for you guys to, well, I mean, if you're listening to this one, hopefully you've listened to episode 70, entitled Bovine Semen Part 1.
Oh, I
Paul, that's the proper response. He just said, why?
We got into a discussion about the album cover for Load.
Right. I thought that was human in blood. No.
I don't know.
No, according to Wikipedia, it was bovine semen.
Really?
Yes.
I went to Orion in 2013.
Okay.
They had it at, it's in Detroit on Belle Isle. So right on in the Detroit River. And they had a Metallica museum that was part of it. And they had a couple of Cliff's basses, including the last one he played the night he died. But they had the original artwork for Load in there as well. And it was exactly what you think it was, smeared in between two pieces of glass.
Oh.
It was a little disgusting, to be honest. It's pretty huge, too. I think it was like 2x2.
So it's a big load.
Yeah, it's a pretty big load. Yeah.
Before we get too far into discussing Metallica, if you want to find out all about our previous episodes, including Bovine Semen Part 1, you can check us out at Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
thinking of just the bovine semen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Jim's BBQ Pod. No pictures of bovine semen.
You can.
No pictures of any kind, please.
You could go to. Or no, I fucked that up. You can email us at jimsbbqpod@gmail.com, and we'll send you pictures of Dylan spooging his semen on things. Or you can go to www.jimsbbqpod.com and get the episodes fresh from the grill.
Get your bovine semen fresh from the pig?
That would be porcine.
And don't forget, you can also rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Much to Jim's
chagrin.
Not a fan of the iTunes? I hate Apple. I'm right there with you.
I was about to say, I think Paul is not a fan of Apple.
I don't understand how one company can just put out subpar products and just fucking everybody eat it up.
Got one word for you.
Sheep.
Hipster.
I thought you were going to say Saint Anger.
That's two words.
That's two words. It's too many words.
But before we get too far again, we want to get to Metallica, but Dylan, I have an important question for you.
What's that, Mike?
What in the world are you drinking tonight?
Well, Mike, because we hung out over the weekend, and we'll get onto that eventually, but because we hung out this weekend, just thought it would be perfect to crack open some of that stuff you gave me, so I'm having a Giant Panda dub-style IPA from Three Heads Brewing.
Very nice.
It's pretty kick-ass. It's drinking really well from that can.
Hey, I got a question, though, for you.
What's that?
Is your mom pissed off that you're drinking that from her?
No, she's not here.
Oh, so you're drinking it and you didn't even tell her.
Oh, no, I gave her one.
He gave her
okay.
One.
Okay.
Well, there were only two.
Tell you, though, dude, the way I heard she bailed on the weekend, I mean, I guess similarly that like I did, I don't know if I'd give her one either.
Yeah, she did bail. That was pretty cool.
She did. That was a bad move on her part.
That was.
Why are we talking about giving Dylan's mom one?
Dylan's talking about giving her one.
All right.
I don't know what it is.
The giant panda?
Disappearing panda.
I think that one was missed.
I got it.
Oh, all right.
No. I just didn't want to.
Knowledge?
Dylan's yes. Not sensitive about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He did just go quiet.
He doesn't. No, I didn't want to know it, but he is.
I just couldn't. Well, how could I respond back now that I have all three of you going at me? Just like. It's all right, Jim.
It must feel like the weekend didn't end.
Yeah.
Well, the one time Dylan's like, hey, my mom said you had a nice smile. And I'm like, hey, when you go home, tell her I said, how you doing? He's like, I ain't fucking telling her that.
I totally did, though.
I figured you did.
Mike, what are you drinking?
I am having from Lagunitas. They're Born Yesterday Pale Ale.
It's a good one.
Yes. It's fresh hop, unfiltered pale ale. It's pretty freaking good. I had a little taste of it last night, and I decided to get a six-pack of it. It just came out. It's fresh as fresh can be. It was probably bottled like 3 days ago or some such shit like that. It's mighty tasty. Fucking good. Love it. Jim, what do you got? What are you pouring down your gullet tonight?
Some genuine Hank's Gourmet Vanilla Cream Soda. And I gotta tell you, it's no Spreckers, but it's pretty fucking good. This is one of the better ones I've had. And I don't know what it is. I'm telling you, man, it's that fire brew that Spreckers does that kind of caramelizes everything. But this one's really good. It's just got that little bit of like bitter aftertaste that some cream sodas have. But I'd have to say this is probably top three or four. Top five, at least. Yeah, top five. It's that good.
Nice. So, Paul, I got a remark. You laughed two times. One on the use of the word gullet.
Yep.
And once once when I mentioned, or when Jim mentioned Spreckers.
Well, it's just because it's always Spreckers, right?
So. Yeah. He loves his Spreckers. We were discussing that over the weekend, actually, of how much Jim loves his Spreckers.
Even like when we were up for Dark Lord Day, remember when we went to the place that Laura's working at now? And I got...
The 350?
I got a pop. And I'm like, I know this isn't like Coke or Pepsi, but it's pretty damn good. And they're like, you want another one? And I was like, yeah, I'll take another one. They brought it out. It was Puma Cola from Spreckers. I don't know. I must be the only one that remembers because I was drinking it, but... Damn, I love their shit.
Well, I knew it must have been something good that, you know, you had another one, right? Yeah. All right, Paul. What are you drinking this evening?
Grimbergen and Double Amber.
Yeah? How's that drinking?
It's quite a tasty beer, actually. It's a bit of a strong strong beer, but nice taste to it.
Good. Like some of those ambers, they tend to have like a little bit of a caramel flavor. Is that what you're getting out of that?
A little bit, and some spice. So.
Huh. Cool.
It's kind of.
Is it a full body of flavor?
I would say so. Yeah.
So it's something of quality, unlike what we're about to talk about.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. That was my making fun of Dylan's impression.
I am so fucking traumatized by that snare. I'm gonna hear it like fucking nightmare. Like,
he's gonna go to sleep and just hear like.
It's not even that. It sounds like a fucking bell. It's like tank tank tank. Like,
it was at least three or four times a day that you got a random message. That fucking snare.
Paul struggled through it, and it's oh my god.
Well, let's tell the people what we're talking about.
Well, we're talking about Metallica's album Saint Anger.
We were talking about Metallica on the last episode,
right? And we made it up through Garage Inc. in their discography. So Lucky Paul, he gets to kick off with the first one of this episode of Saint Anger.
No, I shit you not, I had never listened to it ever.
Really?
I never. Wow. That was the one and only time I've ever listened to that album. I think I'd heard the title track once.
Okay.
Not all of it. I was like, I don't like this, and I just shut it off. But I subjected myself to that torture today.
Because he's a real good friend.
Holy fuck, what a mess.
Yeah?
Like we had said last week that Load is not a very good album. Reload is most certainly a bad album. But there was intention in those albums. They wanted to do something. I don't really know what it was, but they did do something. It kind of worked, I guess.
It was something drastically different, and really, like, those two albums, I think we discussed it on the last episode, is it was, like, a departure from, like, their sound from the previous albums, and they were kind of exploring, like, their roots, is what I think we kind of... I mean, was it... It was definitely... an experiment, some good, some really not good. You know, I think that's where we were kind of at with those two albums. But they were experimenting with some of the roots of, you know, the music that they listened to growing up. And then Garage Inc. kind of further cemented that, I thought, but in a really good way. Garage Inc. I thought was well done. And they did such a great job with it. But I think because of like the reaction that they got from Load and Reload, their intent with this one was to try and do something a little more heavy, and it really did not work at all.
I made the joke in the conversation this afternoon about, you know, calling them like Lincoln Bizkit, and it had nu metal written all over it. It was like, you know, it was just ridiculous in some spots. And like the title track Frantic or not the title track, sorry, the lead track, you may as well call that fucker schizophrenic, because it has no direction whatsoever. It's like all over the fucking place.
Right.
Some shitty ass fucking lyrics. Like, you know, I made the joke earlier about I'm madly in anger with you. Like, I can't believe those fuckers wrote that on a piece of paper and said, hey, let's record this. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
The songs are like insanely like whiny and just weak and like just it just lacks that that rage and like finesse from the earlier stuff. It's just,
I was looking at some of the title tracks as I'm listening to it, and I'm like, it makes no the name of the song makes no fucking sense to what he's singing. What was the there's something window. What the fuck's the name of that?
Dirty Window.
Yeah. Like, I've got no words.
Obviously, they didn't either. Some shit together. But if you look at it, I was pretty much a fan of everything up till the Black Album. I even enjoyed Black Album. And you got Load, Reload, and Saint Anger. And in between all that, it's Garage Inc. And, like, I got to give them another shout out for that because me and Mike both liked it. And, like you said, Mike, them kind of just paying homage to their roots. I think they did a really good job with Garage Inc. with that. And, you know, covering the songs that shaped them. But I don't know what the fuck their goal was with Saint Anger. At least with Load and Reload or whatever, you could say, yeah, they tried some other shit or whatever. But I didn't enjoy any of those three albums. I mean,
there's a couple notes that I wrote down as far as, like, going back, kind of like you kept mentioning the drums, and I kind of got the feeling like Lars must have gone to see like a production of either Stomp or Blue Man Group, and like really fell in love with the percussion at like one of those two shows. Because I literally think he checked out the drum kit that like a guy in Blue Man Group was using and was like, I want to record the next album with this.
Yeah, man, this would be great.
I was Googling it this afternoon. I think I typed in like snare on Saint Anger or something like that. And there was a Reddit post and one guy just shredded the album. He kind of gave it a mini review. It was pretty good actually. But some of the comments after somebody had posted a link to I guess it was an interview. I didn't watch it. Excuse me. YouTube's blocked at work. It was actually a video, but apparently subtext to the link was that Lars was saying that the sound was because the snare was actually disconnected. So he was playing like the snare in like tom mode. Mm. You know how you can get the snare part off. I don't buy it because I've heard snare drums with it connected and disconnected, and they don't sound that clanky, tinny. Like it was not far off a fucking cowbell. Like
I was gonna say, did he have a garbage can lid on top of the drum when he was playing it?
True. They had to do some kind of something in editing because it sounded really fucked up.
There was another link in the same post. Someone had remastered Master of Puppets with the Saint Anger snare.
Oh, yeah. I remember when that came out.
And I could just imagine, you know. Cause like,
I mean,
it would be like, ding, 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 ding.
You know, I'm not like a huge fan of the guy as a drummer, like, period, but like, God. Damn.
Explain me this. How does a drummer get worse over his career?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of.
But he has.
It really doesn't make sense.
I know you guys talked about this, so I'll make it real quick. I like Kill 'Em All. It's their first album. It's got some great songs on it. I love the next two. Like, Ride the Lightning and Master are probably my favorite two. I'm not against. I like Justice. Even though the mix is shitty. Black Album I kind of tolerate, but I bought it. That's the last one I did buy. Except for the new one, Hardwired, I think I have 3 copies of it, vinyl, CD, and digital. But like everything else in between, I could give two shits about it.
I think most people feel the same way.
Although I do like just prior to Justice, to kind of cut Jason's teeth, they put out Garage Days Re-Revisited. That got plenty of spins on my turntable when it came out.
Which that's one of the neat things about the Garage Inc. is that they actually, because that was such a limited release and they didn't have it out for very long, and it got so bootlegged, I think we discussed that a little bit on the last episode, they decided to put that out like along with like the stuff that they recorded new on like the first disc of Garage Inc. So they put out the Revisited, the Re-Revisited, and some of the other covers that they had done early on in their career. So it's actually a pretty neat historical piece.
Yeah, to be honest, some of my favorite songs are on that fucking EP. Like, The Weight is fantastic. Like, you know, it's so crunchy.
Oh, the Killing Joke cover?
Yeah. And that's then a good one. How do you not like Last Caress? Hey, wait a minute. We went from shitty Metallica to good Metallica.
Yeah, we have to go back to shitty Metallica.
Well, there's one more comment that I had about the Saint Anger album, and it's Kirk Hammett, or the lack thereof.
Yeah, there's no guitar solos. What the fuck?
I'm wondering if he's even... Was he in the studio at all? Was he actually there? Did he actually show up?
According to the movie, he was there.
I was like, they're like, okay, Kirk, we need you to come in. They're filming for the movie today. That's what I kind of got the feel. Like, he was maybe just like reading comic books over like in a side room or something. And they're like, okay, we need you to be in here for a few minutes.
I believe the only thing he does on albums anyway is leads.
Right.
James plays all other guitars.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think on Nothing Else Matters, Kirk's presence is nowhere to be found on the recording, because James even did that lead.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm not 100%, but I think if you look at some of the liner notes, it's like all rhythm guitar is James Hetfield. Leads Kirk Hammett. So if there's no lead, guess what? There's no Kirk.
Well, I mean, I was going to say he's probably on the album more than Jason Newsted.
Well, no, Jason's on that album. You just can't fucking hear him.
You can barely hear it. Well, didn't he quit and then Bob Rock had to take over?
Oh, no, sorry, on Saint Anger. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Saint Anger, he was gone.
Yeah, it depends on what perspective you you look at it from.
Yeah. And, like, even Justice, Cliff is still on some of that, eh?
To Live Is to Die was something I think they had before. Yeah. And then there might be a few others that maybe he was involved in.
I think the only song I actually enjoy off the album is Some Kind of Monster, and that's even kind of a bit of a stretch.
Those first 3 songs were fucking horrible. And which was the one I was... Actually, I think it might have been... saying that, yeah, the title track. Like... they ran out of lyrics so bad that in it's not technically not the chorus, but would it be the bridge? I guess I don't care. Remember my musical theory. So shred me if you want, if you know all that kind of shit. There's a line in there where he took a line from Battery and Hit the Lights and jammed it into the fucking verse or the part of the song. I think it's like. Fucking no regrets.
Fuck it all and no regrets. I hit the lights on these dark sets and let myself go free. It all and fucking no regrets. Right. Shut up, James Hetfield.
That's like Unforgiven 3, for fuck's sake. It's like the song, the same song for the third fucking time.
You flush it out. Man, they're flushing the toilet. They should have flushed this album down the toilet.
Should we revisit that since Paul was around for that discussion? Dylan's love for Unforgiven?
Which one?
He likes them all.
Really?
I don't mind Unforgiven 1. Unforgiven 2 sucks.
And it's a joke. Three is actually not bad.
See, I still think three was not very good.
No, it's better than two.
Two is really bad. Two is terrible.
We had a whole discussion, though, about how Dylan was like, get rid of two. I was like, well, you can't have two without three. Or you can't have three without two.
Yeah, no, you just don't make them.
Well, right, but you would have to call it something else then.
No, you just...
Because then Unforgiven 3 would actually be Unforgiven 2.
No, then you just don't make it. They are not necessary. You don't need to make a sequel to that.
Unforgiven X.
But wasn't it actually Unforgiven 2, like T-O-O?
It was, yes, which is even worse.
Oh, God, it's like they're trying to be cool.
I just love Dylan's reaction to that.
It's not undeserved.
No, it isn't, but it's hilarious.
They should be Unforgiven for fucking doing that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Paul.
The only track I semi-enjoyed on Saint Anger was The Unnamed Feeling.
is that what you call it in your pants?
Yes. And that was semi-enjoyed it. It was a struggle. It really was. The whole album was.
Oh, it's terrible. And it's literally 1 second over 75 minutes. And God, that 1 second, you can feel it. You're just waiting for this fucker to end. It's terrible. I
was counting down the seconds on that last song.
I got to be honest. I think there were a couple that I might have skipped. Because I was like, it was just so bad.
Now the truth comes out.
There might have been a couple I skipped.
I listened to the whole thing.
Well, I know who's getting the Sarge of the Week on this episode. You made Paul listen to that entire album and you skipped tracks? For shame.
I even had to use toothpicks to keep my fucking eyes open.
It was putting him to bed.
All I could think of listening to Shoot Me Again was... Please. Many times over.
Oh, no, it's fucking terrible. I have listened to it, though. My mom got me this fucking album, like, years ago. She goes, she's the Sarge.
Did she have to go into the store with you?
I just said I wanted a Metallica album and a Guns N' Roses album. And I got Live Era 87 to 93, and this fucking dog shit. And I was like... This is not Metallica. This sucks.
I was going to guess that she got you the spaghetti incident in Saint Anger.
That would have been amazing. Like, two great metal bands, rock and roll bands, and you get their two worst fucking albums.
Oh, I don't have anything.
Actually, I'm going to see Guns N' Roses next week.
All right. So, moving on from Saint Anger. All right. So we move on from... the abomination known as Saint Anger, to something that I might be in the minority here, but I actually enjoyed listening back to this album. I hadn't listened to it in a while, was Death Magnetic. I actually kind of found it to be like something where like they maybe listened to their critics, maybe listened to the fans, and actually went, you know what, we can do something like that might take you back, you know, maybe to like almost like the Justice era. And I think they kind of intentionally did that with, like, some of the tracks on it. I mean, case in point, if you look at, like, some of the lengths of the songs on that album, you'll see that they're, like, a bit longer form. They're not single-ish like the stuff that was on Black and Load and Reload.
Shortest songs, 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's... It's definitely a vast improvement over Saint Anger, but that's not saying a whole lot because, I mean, anything would have been a vast improvement over Saint Anger. But yeah, I just, I mean, that was kind of my take on it. I actually enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah, the only one I can really remember is Unforgiven 3, and it actually wasn't bad.
Stupid. Unnecessary.
Oh, absolutely, but
I don't mind it. It's okay. Some of the songs are a little generic, but there's a couple that are on here that I think are pretty good. I like Cyanide. I'll be honest, I enjoy Cyanide. The Day That Never Comes is probably the closest thing they have to a ballad. it's a fine album, you know. I remember people were pretty jazzed up about it when it was coming out. First album with full Robert Trujillo, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. We got to go back to fucking St. Anger for just 1 second.
No!
It won a Grammy.
For what?
Best fucking rock out a song.
For what?
Where is it?
That right there just tells you what the fucking Grammys are worth.
Oh,
yeah, no shit.
Fuck all.
Well, in case in point, when they lost to Jethro Tull.
Yep.
So they and they win for this dog shit?
Yeah.
St. Anger won Best Metal Performance at the 46th Grammy Awards and was also nominated for Best Rock Video at the 2003 VMAs.
Hmm.
Oh, that doesn't fucking count.
Ugh, so bad.
Yeah, if they weren't up on pop-up video, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, back to an okay Metallica album.
Dylan gloss over.
I just had to throw that out there. Yeah, it was an okay album.
I mean, you mentioned a couple of the songs that I enjoyed. Cyanide, I liked. The Day That Never Comes. And then the other one that I really liked listening back to this one was The Judas Kiss. I thought that one was pretty good. One that always... I got to inject some humor in here that always reminded me of something in particular was Broken Beat and Scarred. I think you can order that at Waffle House. Jim, what any thoughts on this one?
I didn't mind it at all. I can give it to listen through here and there. I agree. I think there was a lot of hype coming up to it and release, and it doesn't give me warm and fuzzies like the rest of the albums did, like the early stuff, but I think it's redeeming. I liked it. I agree with you. Probably the best one on there, Cyanide. I agree with Paul. Unforgiven isn't, you know, it was decent, but overall, I mean, it was meh, but way better than what we've heard before.
Yeah. I do remember something that they did that was kind of cool after this album came out is they released a EP of some B-sides or unreleased tracks called Beyond Magnetic. And I thought that was kind of neat that they actually did that.
They've had tons of EPs and...
Yeah. I mean, they've always seemed to been like a band that'll like do stuff like that, you know? Like, they're not afraid to like go, okay, well, we have these songs too, and we're gonna put them out, you know, like as a bonus thing, you know?
Yeah, even though, I mean, there's tons of bootlegs of Metallica shit, but that's what was weird about the bootlegs is they were released, but once they were out and, you know, circulated it for, you couldn't find them anymore.
All right.
I mean, even like the, what was it, S&M, and I mean, there was a few EPs that were considered, I don't know, discography or mainstream.
I fucking love S&M.
Yeah, it was good. I thought that was
fantastic.
I like listening to it.
I have the video on VHS.
I've watched. Ooh. Oh wow.
Hey Dylan, back in the day, they used to release videos on these things called VHS tapes.
I know what a fucking VHS is. I have many.
Whatever.
Where a lot of his porn is.
No, I know where you can find porn.
Yeah, we know where Dylan's going to be getting hotel rooms on a weekly basis now.
He's driving down to Teterboro.
He's just going to go there and be like, hey,
are you checking in by the hour with anybody?
Nope. hey, I was here a few weeks ago. I left something in my room. Can I go check?
But we'll get to that.
Did you guys tell the Paul the story of Dylan wanting to check out early?
Did we? We may.
No, I don't think so.
We may have alluded to it.
Did
we tell you about it where he wanted to call the hotel to let them know that he was going to check out at 10 instead of the noon checkout time?
Yeah, we were like, call him for what? And he's like, well, I'm going to check out early. We're like, they don't fucking care. And he's like, well, I'd like to let them know. And they're like, me and Mike are like, they don't care.
They don't give a flying fuck.
I did apologize to him because I listened back to the episode and there was like, I had left the room at one point and he was like, wow, Mike was really yelling at me about that.
He fucking was.
I can't see Mike yelling ever.
It just mystified me, and I got worked up.
Yeah, I would say worked up's a good. You were just like, I don't get it.
I didn't. I still don't get it.
Unnecessary.
Unnecessary to call them.
I know. I agree. We've gone over this.
It's unnecessary, just like the fucking Unforgiven 2 and 3.
Yep. Exactly. Wow, Dylan just brings it right back around to Metallica.
Yeah. He does.
All right, guys. Well, so
we're on the last one, so.
So, yes. Last year, Metallica releases the second studio album featuring Robert Trujillo, Hardwired to Self-Destruct. Now, Paul, I mean, you own 3 different versions of this album. I got to assume you like it.
I kind of do.
Okay.
Part of the reason is I bought it on vinyl when it came out, because it actually came on vinyl. Like,
right.
And having a vinyl copy. And for the $160 plus ass raping that I got for going to see their show, it also included a physical copy of the album, CD actually in this case. And I believe the vinyl copy also came with it wasn't the vinyl copy. I have Google Play Music, which entitles me to own it as well digitally, so.
Mm.
So I can download it and do whatever I want with it. I kind of dig it. It's like if they'd have done an album in between Ride the Lightning and Master, this is what it would have sounded like.
It definitely felt a little more old school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, too. Now, here's a question for you. And, I mean, I'm honestly curious about this. So, the CD version was 3 discs, right?
I believe so.
I think I think digital was, too. Because I think the version on Spotify was pretty long.
But the first disc is 37 minutes long.
Yep.
The second disc is 40 minutes long. Why on earth wasn't that just one disc?
I think they probably kept it in line with, I don't know, the album's a double. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was, it's only 2. But you got to figure, I think at that time, that's when the extended CDs were out. You could only hold, what was it, 55 or 56 minutes on a disc without overburning it? And you figure if each disc was around 40 minutes, you might as well balance them out.
Okay. So you think maybe just to keep the integrity?
I always thought it was just a balancing out thing. I don't think it was a...
I think it's to keep it in line with the vinyl.
Oh, huh. That could be too.
Because the vinyl, it's double vinyl, right? So yeah.
I got to imagine so.
So CD1 would be side 1 and 2, and right. CD2 would be side 3 and 4.
Yeah, I bet right. You're right.
Now, the third disc was like some live tracks that they did, and then some covers. Some more covers, actually.
Yeah, Remember Tomorrow, one of my favorite Iron Maiden songs.
Yeah. And then
they redid Helpless. Speaking of
a live version of Helpless.
Yeah. I saw Diamond Head 2 months ago.
Oh, dude. In Man Kicks Ass.
They were fucking awesome. I was like, holy shit.
Like, kind of a, not obscure band, but definitely not a band I knew until I started, like, getting a little deeper into the Metallica stuff.
Right. So, were there any songs that stood out to you guys on this
one? I like Hardwired.
Hardwired, Atlas, right? Moth, those are 3 good ones. Like the kind of the Halo on Fire. I think I remember liking. I liked it. I mean, I pretty much enjoyed it, everything. I mean, it was...
Yeah, I said Atlas, Moth, and I liked... I actually liked the last song on the album, the Spit Out the Bone.
Spit Out the Bone? Yeah, I was going to say that, too. I dig that. So.
Yeah.
It actually feels like Metallica again, you know what I mean?
So here's one question. Am I savage or am I evil?
Am I evil?
I am, man.
I liked it. It's like they did a cover of Am I Evil, and they have a song, Am I Savage? It's kind of like, which one am I?
Make up your mind.
Yes. I am, man. Yes, I am.
One that kind of got me with like the title that I was kind of like, was Man Unkind.
Yeah.
I didn't really care.
Yeah. Silly.
Yeah. And that one might be much to Dylan's chagrin that the bass player Robert Trujillo has a writing credit on it.
I was just gonna point that out. Oh, so we're talking about more shitty Metallica songs that are written by the bass player.
he really had a hard on or against the songs that Jason Newsted helped co-write on some of the albums.
It's kind of like when we went to go see Guns N' Roses, and Duff started playing his song.
Yeah.
And well, that was a like, cover.
Yeah, everybody's like, well, time to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, time to get another beer.
It's not even his song. It was.
Yeah, it was a cover song. A
punk
yeah.
song. It's funny where like bands lie in the, you know what you call it, the echelon, I guess, of you know, who's who and who isn't. Going back to that Orion Fest, Metallica actually played twice. They were supposed to headline Sunday, but there was a band scheduled for Saturday called Dahan, and nobody knew who the fuck this band was. There was hints here and there, and some really smart fuckers figured it out. I didn't. I was completely clueless. But Dane DeHaan is the kid who's the lead in oh my God, what's the name of the movie?
Oh,
some kind of monster.
Dane DeHaan, isn't he the guy from Chronicle?
No, he was. What's the Metallica movie they did?
Through the Never.
Yeah, it's the same. That's, it's the same guy, I think.
Yeah, so he's the lead, and DeHaan was actually Metallica playing on a small little shitty side stage, and they did all of Kill 'Em All, the whole album,
nice.
Live right through. But later that evening. Chili Peppers were closing the night, and the band that was up on the Chili Peppers were on the main stage, and then the next biggest stage was like right behind it. It was Infectious Grooves.
Okay.
Yeah. So Mike Muir from Suicidal, and one Robert Trujillo. So we hung out. I wanted to see a couple of songs from them because I actually have the Groove Family Psycho CD. I'm kind of not a fan, but I appreciate Infectious Grooves. And we're just standing there waiting for shit to happen. And like, there's no roadies for this band. It's like everybody's like setting up their own
shit.
Yeah. And here comes Trujillo. He's like taping down chords and he's taping down set lists and shit. And it's like, so you just went from playing. Actually, I think he played three times that day because he did a. He did his own thing with his son and daughter-in-law, the Trujillo Trio. He did the DeHaan thing, and then he did the Infectious Grooves thing. And it's like you go from like I'm you know number four basically in Metallica to I gotta tape my own fucking gear down so nobody trips over it. Right?
Yeah,
it was just kind of doesn't matter who you are, right? If the band don't got it, don't have the juice, you're still doing the fucking work yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
I do think he is a nice like fit for the band though.
You know what? When they announced him, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like the guy that walks around like a you know stomps around like with the crab walk or whatever. I'm like, there's no way this is gonna fucking work. And all it took was that DeHaan show when they did Kill 'Em All, and then later like the next night when they did their own full set. Like this dude fits. He's no different than like I've seen all three versions of the band. I did have the luck of seeing Cliff Not a full set. They were touring with Ozzy on the Puppets tour. They opened up for Ozzy in Detroit. It was just like a 45-minute set. But I did see Cliff in 85. I saw them three times with Jason, and I've seen them three times now with Robert. He fits. He doesn't look out of place at all. So.
You know who he reminds me of? And I know Michael will immediately know who it is, but the wrestler Rhino?
A little bit.
Yeah, I've always thought that.
I thought you were going to say Roman Reigns.
No, Rhino.
Because he does kind of look like Roman Reigns.
A little bit, but...
Not Razor Ramon?
No, not Razor Ramon. There's a more modern wrestler named Roman Reigns. I'll see if I can send you a picture, Paul, in our chat that we have going on. But
he's The Rock's nephew, isn't he, or something?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's got like that almost like Samoan kind of.
Listen to Dylan. He's been to one wrestling event, and he's like now he's like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, you know. When you're seeing somebody who's like loves wrestling, can teach you a thing or two about a thing or two.
How many times have me and Mike told you how entertaining it is? I mean, if you
go I believe you, man.
I mean, if you go in with the mindset of like, you know, this is going to be stupid or wrestling's dumb, and I mean, don't get me wrong, it is, but if you go in with the mindset that you just want to go in and be entertained, it's fucking entertaining.
Dude, oh yeah, he does look a lot like Roman Reigns. It's funny.
He looks a bit like Jason Momoa.
I was thinking that too.
That's who I thought when Jim said a wrestler. I thought he was going to go Roman Reigns.
Now the reason I said I say Rhino is because he's huge. He stomps around like
yeah,
like Rhino.
Well, guys, anything else about Metallica? I mean, do we want to go into? I guess doing like our rankings, or do we just want to, I mean, cut it at that? I mean, do you think, I mean, I think we have a good idea of like where everybody's heads are at, like as far as the albums and what they liked and what they didn't like.
I could do the ranking real quick.
I'll rank them. I'll make it pretty easy.
Okay.
Ride the Lightning and Master Puppets tied at 1. Kill 'Em All 2. Justice 3, Black Album 4, don't really give a fuck about the rest. Hardwired, I guess, would be 5th. It's not bad. I like it. Oh, no. Garage Days Re-Revisit, that's 4.5.
Okay.
No, you know what? I put that in between the Black Album and Justice.
If I had to rank them and I did just like studio recordings... Well, I guess Garage Inc. is technically studio. Is it studio recording?
Sure. Yeah.
I just excluded it because it was covers, but it kind of exists as its own little realm. It's good. It's enjoyable.
Re-revisit is covers, and I included it.
So. I would do Say Anger at the bottom, number 10. Reload, number 9. Load, number 8. Death Magnetic, 7. Hardwired at 6. Black Album 5, Justice at 4, Kill 'Em All 3, Master of Puppets 2, Ride the Lightning 1. It's tough though with those two because they are both fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think they're the personally for me they're the pinnacle.
Jim,
I pretty much dead on with Paul except for Justice, and Paul didn't get to hear my reasoning when we talked about Injustice before, but. The only reason I ranked that higher is just because of the time era it was out, where I was in my life, you know, the memories with it. It just was, you know, anytime I hear anything from there, it takes me immediately back to that. So that's why I ranked that higher. But other than that, I agree with Paul 100%.
That's the nice thing about music. It's personal.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And I don't think that Justice is a better album than say, like, Ride the Lightning musically, or best album, I'd have to say Ride the Lightning, but my favorite album is Injustice, for that reason.
It's my reasoning for liking those other two are almost the same as yours, so that was Ride the Lightning was the album I discovered. I heard Ride the Lightning before I heard Kill 'Em All. And right. I bought it because Fade to Black was getting like a ridiculous amount of radio play here, which is kind of rare for them. And they were playing For Whom the Bell Tolls as well, and I kind of dug that. So right. I ran out to the local record store and I grabbed it on vinyl and I plopped it on, and the first thing I heard was Fight Fire with Fire, and I'm just sitting there in my room going, what the fuck is this? It's like, and I listened to it and I picked it up and I went to my friend Chris's house and I'm like, here, you can borrow this. And I never listened to it for the longest time. Like, I love those two songs and I really didn't like it. I was like, because it was different, right?
No, oh, it was.
It's like I'd never heard anything like that before. I was heavy into Priest and Maiden and Led Zeppelin and stuff. And like, you know, you hear like that just opening fucking riffs and like, blow the universe. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, this is just insane. And I just wasn't digging it at first. And my friend Chris, he would tape a lot of shit, and we'd be cruising around in his car and we'd be listening to all kinds of crap like Venom, Metallica. And he played it to death and it just grew on me. And I'm like, give me my album back. And I listened to it a little bit more and I just dug it a bit more. And then when Puppets came out, it was just like, you know, that break in the middle of the title track.
When the Puppets came out.
You know, so it's for those same reasons I liked those two songs, right? Or those two albums.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense, dude. It is. Like, you hit the nail right on the head. Music is personal.
My rankings, I think, are the tale of two bookends. my top three, and one of them is my gateway album, so bear with me. The top two, I think I'm kind of in line with Paul. Master of Puppets and Ride the Lightning. They're right up there. I mean, both of them are. I mean, it's almost too close to call. You know what those? I think I slightly prefer Master a little bit, even though like my favorite Metallica song of all time is on Ride the Lightning. I think I prefer Master of Puppets just wholly as an album.
What's your favorite?
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yeah, it's that or Creeping Death for me. I'm like, it's those two songs.
One of the things I mentioned on the previous episode is. The closing two songs on Ride the Lightning are just, I think it's just like a masterpiece. It's Creeping Death and Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Just those two songs together. I don't know what it was. It was like perfect to me. I'm listening to it going, oh my God, this is just, it's perfect. But I kind of give a slight edge to Master of Puppets. The third song in that top three bookend is actually the Black Album. And it's just because it was like the first album I had ever really listened to of theirs. Sure. And I just went, holy shit, why haven't I been listening to their stuff before? But as I'm apt to do with stuff like that, once I listen to something like that and I get into it, I'm going to go back and listen to the previous stuff. So when I heard that and I heard some of the songs I liked on that, I started going back and listening to some of the older stuff. Now, the other end of that bookend is way down at the bottom. I included Garage Inc. in my list. So like 9, 10, and 11 are... in this order, Load, Reload, and Saint Anger. And I don't think we really need to elaborate on why.
No, I'm never, ever, ever listening to that again.
It might be several years before I do listen to Saint Anger again. Maybe when we're doing like episode, 400 and we decide to revisit these again. You know what I'm saying? So the middle group, those middle five, I have them in an order here, but I just don't. I don't think I can necessarily rank them like one better than the other. Oh, excuse me, but I mean, Justice, Death Magnetic, Garage Inc., Hardwired, and Kill 'Em All. The one thing that I noted, and we kind of discussed this in the previous episode, Paul, was while Kill 'Em All is great and it's a great debut album, the youthfulness of it and the rawness of it. It almost takes it away from me a little bit, especially when you hear the songwriting and how much it improved on Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets. And the only reason I think why of that is Cliff Burton. He brought so much to the table on those second two albums that it kind of lowers it down a little bit for me. I get why so many people are like, oh my God, this is just something that's totally different. But that's why it's kind of in that second grouping of those five albums for me. But, I mean, it's still a great album. Justice, it's kind of like what we alluded to earlier, the production on it just kind of, it takes away a little bit for me, and then like some of the songs feel a little bloated to me.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think what's
much in the same way like how Saint Anger, a lot of the songs feel really bloated to me. Some of the songs on Justice feel a little bloated to me, but like not that they're bad, but that just that they feel like they could have been a little shorter.
Look up the track list. I used to play it quite a bit.
But yeah, it was really fun. I mean, to go through and listen to not all of 11 of these, but at least I would say maybe around 9 of these in total. Because like I think what we discussed were like Load and Reload could have like combined it into one okay album. So I'll say it was really fun to listen to 9 of these albums. The other two I could have done totally without.
I'd agree.
Our first foray into
the music chronology.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was fun.
It's a Jim's BBQ retrospective.
Yeah.
So I think we did well with it, and we'll have to do another one.
Yeah, I think we got a few artists in mind. I tell you what, though, I mean, if the listeners have any bands that they think might fit into this mold, I mean, they might have some that they want to hear, but whether we're really into their music, you know, that's another thing. If they have any suggestions, by all means, you know, hit us up.
Please, but, no fucking Insane Clown Posse.
No, we won't do anything
like
that.
I heard they played Brantford.
Oh, big show.
Oh, big show, man.
But, hey, you know what? I think they're playing Rochester tonight.
Oh, Mike, you better get going.
Yeah, no.
That's why he has plans tomorrow.
No, actually, I'm working a charity beer event thing.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm helping out at, like, a charity raffle ticket beer thing. It benefits some children's charity or something, I guess. So, helping some friends out with that. So that'll be a good time. I'll probably have some good beer. I actually was at a fun beer event last night. It was a Halloween candy and beer pairing event. So Paul, that Death by Coconut that you had over the weekend.
Yes.
That with a Mounds bar.
Oh my God! Shush.
Yes.
Shush.
Yeah, exactly.
Starting to salivate. For future retrospectives, if you want to discuss Iron Maiden, Queensryche, or Black Sabbath, I'm your guy.
We were also some of the bands we spit out were Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots, Guns N' Roses. I'm not sure if Maiden was in that mix.
We may have mentioned Maiden. Possibly Van Halen, I think we talked about.
Yeah, I could get into that.
But, hey, if you enjoyed this episode and you want to check out some of our other episodes, you can check us out at Facebook, facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at JimsBBQPod.
You can also email us at JimsBBQPod@gmail.com or get the episodes fresh from the grill at www.JimsBBQPod.com.
And don't forget, you can also rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, much to Jim and Paul's
chagrin.
Boulevard.
Fuck out.
It's usually Jim's line.
It's so nice having somebody else.
No longer outnumbered.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like Mike and Dylan have a, like, love fest for it or anything. I just... not a fan at all, man. Never was, either.
Thanks for visiting Jim's BBQ, where our meat platter is always broken, beaten, and scarred. I heard somebody in the background.
Oh, I turned down the volume on the TV. I got the Sabres game on.
Well, no, it sounded like somebody asked somebody for a beer or something.
No, it was Tammy asking me if I was done.
Oh. Hi, Tammy.
Hi. Hey, Tammy.
Hey, Tammy.
Miss me?
Of course.
Your city made me sick.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Got a pretty fucking nasty cold.
That's probably the plane ride.
Yeah.
The what?
The plane.
Yeah, the plane, I figured.
Or maybe it was the pancake.
Maybe.
There was definitely plenty of room on it for something to be growing on it.
Pancake looked bigger than you, Dylan.
I think it was.
Bigger than something of Dylan's.
Oh. Well, that goes without saying.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
What?
They got the fucking EA NHL little circles underneath the players.
What?
The Sabres Blue Jackets game.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
It's so you Americans can know where to follow the puck.
But it's horrible. Oh my God. It's like, you know how like when you.
Oh my God.
When you play NHL on the. You have the little circle underneath you, like to show the guy you're controlling. Yeah. That's what's going on.
What's this you Americans bullshit, man?
Yeah, I didn't like it. It was distracting. It was like
I probably watch more hockey than you do, Paul. Then again, I think I'm further north than you, aren't I?
You are. I'm just fucking with you.
I know.
But you gotta admit, it's so people in LA and Phoenix can follow the fucking game.
Oh, it's 100% the reason why.
It's like when Fox had the Fox Tracks puck back when they broadcast the NHL games back like in the 90s.
You remember that? Oh, it was horrible.
Yes, it was horrendous.
Horrendous.
Horrendous. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've been what's the word? Occupied.
Occupied.
If you will. Yeah. Dylan's been occupied. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Occupy Dylan?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. No, thanks.
Well, you could take that a lot of different ways, Paul.
I know. That's why I said no thanks.
Oh, don't worry. I wasn't inviting you.
Someone's been occupying Dylan.
Speaking of which, is that... I didn't even look. Is that Iron Maiden beer? Is that an IPA?
No.
A Stout? Or
No. It's just beer. It's like a lager.
Can it age?
No. You're not supposed to.
I'll have to give it to somebody then. It's probably not any good because I grabbed Paul one to bring with me.
Trooper's just an ale, right? Or is this the new one?
It's the one I took a picture of and sent you guys that day.
Oh, Hallowed?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's Hallowed. Hallowed's the new one. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it was Hallowed.
I think it's... Isn't it a Wheat?
Maybe. You know, isn't that weird that they put out a beer called that, but they can't play the fucking song at their shows?
Well, it's just called Hallowed.
I thought that was a debriefing. I thought it was all Hallowed Be Thy Name.
Well, I'm sure they wanted to call it Hallowed Be Thy Name.
Yeah, I'll have to give it to Sean tomorrow then, because if it's not going to age. So it's a little over a week old now.
Oh, it'll be... I mean, it'll hold up fine. It's British beer. British beer tends to hold up a little bit better, even in those lighter styles.
It's not going
to
hold up until like fall next time, probably.
Probably not, no.
It's Belgian.
Belgian wit?
No, I think it's just an ale.
You might just have to drive that stuff to South Detroit.
Come see Queensryche on November 11th.
Seriously? Yeah. I thought about it briefly, Paul, but I My company's doing a system changeover, and I got to be home for it.
November 11th is a Saturday.
Yeah.
Let me see what's going on. We're in Florida the week before. If I can swing it, I'd love to. I've never seen him.
Florida? Wait, are you traveling without us?
I thought I told you guys I was going down for Halloween Horror Weekends.
Oh, look at that. Look at that, Dylan.
Yeah, I'm taking the kid.
Unbelievable.
Technically, we
traveled. Oh, okay, yeah. Blame it on the kid.
I'm taking her and her boyfriend. We're going down to stay with my buddy and his family. They invited us down for Halloween Horror Weekends. As soon as I told Victoria, Universal Studio filled with haunted houses, she's like, yeah, I'm in.
Look at that. All right. So, okay. I see how you do.
That is kind of funny, though, now that you mention it. I'm either with you guys or with her if I go somewhere.
I don't know.
Bubbly?
Bubblies and jubblies?
No, we've been making our own kombucha for a couple of months.
Oh, what the hell is that?
Nothing.
Dylan snickering?
It sounded like one of those things like you shake at New Year's Eve.
That's funny. Why were you snickering at him making his own kombucha?
Because I just heard him say, we've been making our own cum, and I obviously thought that was funny because I have the humor level of a 12-year-old.
It's cum, so it's K-O-M, not C.
I know. We have some downstairs.
Well, it's kind of like when you say you're, you can't tell when somebody says it if they put the apostrophe in it or not.
True.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Well, sure you can. It's based on the context, Jim.
I know, but see, when I speak and I say
you're going to bed, or you're going to bed. The you're going to bed is you are.
Right, but see, when I say it out loud, I never put the apostrophe in, and that's to fuck with people like Dylan. Because if I spell it, he corrects me.
Wait.
How would you put it?
Say in? The apostrophe.
Yeah.
I don't. I think Paul's the only one that got my joke.
I
at least got a courtesy chuckle out of Paul.
I'm trying to figure out how to say an apostrophe.
You can't. That's my point. Like, Dylan always corrects my grammar, but he has no idea how I say things. That's why I always tell him I don't punctuate and use the right words when I talk.
Well, so, like, if you're saying, you apostrophe ra.
Right, yeah.
Yuri?
Where's Yuri?
Oh, hopefully not here. We've got a second Canadian correspondent.
Ah, yes, Tammy.
I know nothing.
What'd she say?
I know nothing.
She's the office intern.
The office intern. What are your thoughts on St. Anger?
That's the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah, she's not a Metallica fan.
Megadeth.
You see, you want to do a Megadeth retrospective?
Oh, Jesus.
No.
I asked specifically not to do Megadeth.
Why?
Well, Then Jim will sit out that episode and we'll have Tammy be on that one.
I don't know anything about Megadeth. Oh, wait, really? Yeah, I do. I really don't. I saw them once.
I saw them too. They're fucking terrible.
I think they opened for, like, I saw them.
I heard Dokken. Tammy go, what?
Dokken.
Yeah, you're
going to
get kicked
and,
next time she sees you.
Maybe Poison? Seriously, I think that was a triple bill one year.
Megadeth with Poison?
I dig Megadeth. I think Mustaine's a better songwriter.
And guitar player. And singer.
He's a horrible fucking singer.
But can you go...
I do agree with the songwriting, though.
Just like the Pied Piper.
I was going to say, there's only so many ways you can say, yeah, but that's not true.
You can also go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey. We weren't gonna make any mention of Lulu.
What?
You requested not to.
No, I don't want to talk about that fucking piece of shit.
I've never heard it. Don't want to hear it.
Oh, it's fucking. It's like you. If you think stay, it's
that album. Dude, Metallica did an album with Lou Reed.
Oh, and it's fucking horrible.
Paul, do you know what I did, Dylan?
Yeah, so you've just proved to Tammy that Megadeth rules.
Paul, you know what I did to Dylan the last time he came to town?
What's up?
I picked him up at the airport and had Lulu blast him when he got into the van.
It was just as bad as the first time I listened to it.
And we listened to it all the way back to the house.
Is that when I jumped out of the back?
No.
No.
I am the table. Get the fuck out of here.
They use that on a wrestling thing. On there's a thing called Botchamania, where like anytime like a wrestler fucks up, they do this like weekly YouTube series, and anytime like there's like a guy that gets attempted to be put through a table and the table doesn't break, they play that part of the song going, "I am the table." It's great. You need to watch. You need to look up Botchamania, Dylan. You'll enjoy it. Show it to Sarah. She'll like it.
Alrighty. I love when Mike's excited about something.
Have you watched Botchamania, Jim?
No, I haven't, but like...
Oh, you need to watch Botchamania. Trust me.
I'll have to check it out.
It's fucking hilarious. They've done... It's a YouTube series. They're like about 10 minutes each. They've done like 350 episodes of it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.